It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Very good, thanks. Atamarie.
Atamarie.
Good to have you back on the program again.
Yeah, had a nice little holiday last week. It was very good.
It's good for some, eh?
Yeah. Hey, we're talking to you on the last week that people can have their say on the emergency budget for 2020-2021. And obviously this is a big time for the whole world, and Auckland is no different to any other city in experiencing huge financial losses because of COVID-19. But I wanted to start by asking you a bit about the potential rates increases that we're seeing, because we've got two potential increases. It's either 3.5%, which was the sort of level that we were hearing about before COVID, and then now we're also seeing a potential 2.5% increase. But there has been some concern that this lower rates level will mean huge closures for public spaces, community spaces. We're going to see all sorts of potential things like increases in public transport fares. We might also see some no new sports facilities funded for a long period of time. The list does go on quite considerably here. Are you concerned that that lower rates increase is going to be favouring offshore landlords rather than Auckland residents?
The lower rates increase of 2.5 will definitely have an impact, and meaning that we have to cut more services in the short term, and we are talking about short term. It's we're talking about the next 12 to 18 months. It will mean that we are able to invest less money in some of the construction projects for transport, environment, and housing. What we did when we looked at that, the long-term plan, it was based on a 3.5% rates increase. We looked at the impact that COVID-19 was having on Aucklanders generally, and said, okay, look, there'll be less money to go around because of the COVID-19 induced recession. Therefore, we need to give people a chance to have some rates relief. But that has to also be set in the context that we are losing $525 million in income in the coming year. That's $500 million, not predominantly because of reduced rates, but because of non-rates revenue, like dividends from companies like the airport, lower patronage of public transport, less use of venues such as, you know, the zoo and MOTAT and so on. Now, look, for the average ratepayer, the difference between 2.5% rates increase and 3.5% is a 3.5% rate increase will cost you another $1.82 a week, and a 2.5% will cost you another $1.35 a week. So you've got a savings of 50 or 60 cents there, and the result of that saving will be, you know, probably we're having to cut services by about another $17 million worth, and probably about $60 million less going into investment into our much needed infrastructure. For those people that are really hit hard by COVID-19, they've lost their job, their business has gone under, then we'll allow for a rates deferment or postponement till they're back on their feet, and that's going to cost approximately $65 million, you know, eventually recouped. So we're looking after the hardest hit. But councillors felt that there needed to be an acknowledgement that people were, you know, everybody was going to feel the effects of COVID-19. If we'd gone to zero, that would be a dramatic slash of services. Mm. So we haven't put that up as an option, but
even,
you can write it in.
Even this 2.5% option is going to see huge cuts. And for communities that are already disproportionately you know, affected, we're seeing that some low-use community facilities would have to close under that. We're also seeing that, you know, public services like libraries and stuff might have to take a little bit of a knee here as well. And those are perhaps the demographics affected there that might not necessarily be able to have their say as easily as some of the demographics who perhaps a 3.5% increase in the rates is going to be not a favourable option. Are you worried about the feedback process at all? Do you think we're going to see sort of disproportionately different groups affected here?
Yeah, look, sometimes you'll get the standard format reply from the Ratepayers Alliance, and it'll be, you know, you just tick a box and, 3,000 submissions will come in. And, okay, people make that choice, but we acknowledge that those are standard format bulk submissions. We are, as well as the submission process, and, you know, far more people are submitting on this budget than in the original consultation back at the start of this year, and understandably so. It is an emergency budget. But the other thing we're doing, Rachel, is to go out to 2,000 or 3,000 Aucklanders at random through Colmar Brunton and survey what their views are as well. So it's not just the squeaky wheel or the better informed and the maybe the higher income people that would put the submissions in. We're also trying to get a cross section of what the average Aucklander thinks through impartial surveying through an independent polling agency. But look, it's important to just make this point: the choice is in the hands of Aucklanders. We lead, but we listen to the people that are talking to us. And, councillors felt, and I think probably a wider cross-section of the population felt, hey, we'd like to have some choice in this. And we've given a choice that we think is realistic. Yes, there is more pain in terms of cuts and less. It lessens our ability to, do the infrastructure that would also help create jobs. But we also recognise that Aucklanders aren't going to be feeling as well off as they were before COVID-19. So it's trying to find that balance and doing what our responsibility is, both under law and ethically, which is to give Aucklanders the chance to have a say in this process and to express their point of view.
We've had a few texts in over the last couple of weeks, which I'd just like to put a couple of them to you. This one came in this morning, actually. Could you please ask the Mayor if the Council is considering sales of publicly owned assets to boost the emergency budget? Is that something that is on the cards for the Council potentially?
What we'd do most likely in that area, the predominant way we would raise money through sale of property is the surplus properties that Council no longer needs, maybe property that was taken for use for roading and it's no longer intended to be used for that. What we would do is bring forward probably about, the normal process of sale would extend over a three-year period for that, is to bring that into the first year. And in our information document, we've got listed the sort of properties that are there. The option existed to sell shares in the port or the airport. Some of us don't agree with that, and most of us don't agree that even if we thought it was a good idea, why would you sell shares in the airport when it's at the bottom of the market? Why would you sell shares in the port when the future of the port is uncertain because of the central government study into it? So I think probably the majority of councillors would not go down that track. There is some suggestion that maybe some car park buildings could be leased out under a concession. That's another thing that we'd be looking at. But these are largely, or I think exclusively, non-strategic assets.
Well, as you said, I just want to go back to what you were saying about how people can have their say on this, because obviously everybody has been affected by COVID-19.
Yep.
And we have had a few messages in about people struggling with the process of submitting feedback. So it's good to hear that you are going out and getting people's opinions in other ways as well. But we have had people saying that they found the survey really difficult and it's not something that they'd normally struggle with. That's a message we've had in this morning. And we've also got some messages in from people saying that they're concerned about who can actually submit on the survey. Do you have to be an Auckland resident? What's the criteria there, or can anybody have their say?
It has to be an Auckland resident. We're not going to have people in Tauranga or Masterton helping decide the future of Auckland. So you need to be a resident in the Auckland area. I don't think anybody outside of Auckland's got particularly an interest in influencing our future. So
I think the concern perhaps there is people who own multiple properties or who are living outside of Auckland properties.
Yeah, if you own, doesn't matter how many properties you own, you only have one say in it. Then that's how democracy works. One vote, one person, one say, one person. I'm surprised that people are finding it tough, because the questions. I've got the survey in front of me, and there are three questions about the general rates increase for 2020-2021 with a bit of an explanation there, and then giving people a choice and also a chance to add comments. So, you know, if you prefer a higher rate increase, you can add that in. If you prefer a lower rate increase, you can add that in as well. The second is about rates postponement, and I'm expecting most people will see the sense of giving people who are under severe financial pressure a break and not penalising them for late payment of rates. And the third one is suspending the targeted rate on accommodation, and most people see the sense of that at a time when accommodation is at a very low level and people are under financial pressure already. And you can do it written or online feedback. You can do it face-to-face. We're doing webinars. You can do it through social media. And, you know, all of them are generally at akhaveyoursay.nz, and then emergency budget if you're doing it online. You know, we've translated it for communities. We've reached out to particular communities, including young people and Maori and Pacifica, that would generally be underrepresented in these things. So we're trying to give people as fair a go as we can. And I think that the consultation closes, by the way, on the 19th of June. I think that's this Friday. So we are really wanting to hear from people. And, you know, if you've got strong views that you'd rather see the rates stay at 3.5% rather than 2.5% and retain some of those services that will otherwise be cut for the next 12 months, 18 months, or you want to see us investing more in building programs so that we can further assist the recovery of Auckland, please send your submission in. But look, we look fairly at all submissions. We give people the choice because we want to know what they're thinking. But we want to know also that they're well informed, which is why we've got a large, you know, supporting information document. I think it's got that here at the moment, 112 pages long. And if you're not that keen on reading 112 pages, the consultation document itself is about 32, 33 pages long. And we've tried to get them to do it in plain English, to set it out diagrammatically. I'm doing a webinar tonight on one of the topics. We've been doing webinars quite frequently, which is a new way of doing it that came out under COVID-19 rather than the public meeting. So this is an exercise in democracy. It is an exercise in have your say. We do want to hear what you're thinking. And, you know, whatever your views are, please submit them so that we're aware of how you're thinking, if you feel strongly about this, and we want to know how if there is such a thing as an average Aucklander feels. By doing the survey, we reach out beyond the group of people that would normally that wouldn't send in a submission.
Well, we really appreciate your time once again, Mayor Phil Gough. It's always good to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again next week.
Look forward to it, Rachel. Thank you very much.
Don't
forget, get your submission in by this Friday. AK, have your say.
Thank you. We'll talk to you then. See ya.
Okay. Thanks, Rachel. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough.
Thank you.